Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There are some tenets that we feel strongly about as a coaching staff, more so in how we play the game and less so about the skill set of the players we have around us. I feel strongly about our coaches. They're really good at what they do. They've got a right mix of experience, and we're going to draw out the best of them, and we're going to put them in good positions to succeed. So there are no particular skill set requirements that we need. We got some good, talented players, and really the objective is to win, and it's to win now.
That's Bears head coach Ben Johnson. Win now always sounds good to me. It is the Rahimi and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody, in for Layla Rahimi today, who shall return on Monday. Before we get to our next Bears guest, let me just tell you this, that per Brad Biggs, and we've been talking all sorts of Bears here today, the Bears have claimed a couple of players off waivers, including a name you will know, that is cornerback Jalen Jones, who played with the Bears from 22 to 24. They also signed linebacker DeMarco Jackson. Per Biggs, Jones was claimed from Arizona and Jackson from New Orleans. And then again, Biggs says that they will have to make a corresponding moves to create space for Jones and for Jackson.
Also, they're loading up that practice squad. We talked about J.P. Richardson, the wide receiver signing earlier. Also, they're expected to, according to Brad Biggs, re-sign Tano Passanio to the practice squad. He's got experience, of course, playing for the defensive coordinator Dennis Allen, and of course, it gives some depth at the position with Austin Booker right now sidelined.
Let's keep the Bears talk rocking with one of our favorite people. She covers she does a lot. She works for WGN TV as a sports anchor, co-host of GN Sports every night on WGN, a reporter for WGN News as well. She is Caitlin Sharkey, and she joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Shark, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. I'm doing well, pulling into Hallis Hall, preparing for this last practice before it flips into, week one game prep mode.
All right. So you were out there yesterday, right, Caitlin?
I was.
Okay, so I want your perspective on this. What's going on at running back?
I mean, it was wild to see just one true running back out on the field. I will say, I don't think I've ever seen that covering the NFL, right? You at least have two guys out there, but, DeAndre Swift kind of laughed it off and said, yeah, that's the first time in my career as well. I think it was very telling that Ryan Poles said, the practice stays the next few days will look a little different, meaning we should see back Roschon Johnson and Kyle Manungai. If they were that concerned about it, obviously they know they can't prepare for a season or week one with one healthy running back and a DJ Moore doing all of that stuff. So I think it's one of those situations where Ryan Poles didn't seem too concerned. If he was, they're going to go out and get some help.
Caitlin, we were just talking about this, and Marshall was really imposing it as we were talking about the Minnesota game, and Marshall was talking about how they're going to run, and establish that run to get to the play action. And I don't know how successful it's going to be early on in the season, but Caitlin, it sure does feel like in the last couple of practices, like the last training camp practice last week on fields 1 and 2, where we've seen a lot of DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift was very good in the preseason game the other night. Is that what it's going to be early on, do you think? Like a lot of dependence on the running game, which doesn't have great depth at this very second?
Yeah, which is, I think, the unfortunate part when you're looking at, like, okay, they're going to lean on the run to start, and wait, how many backs do they have available right now?
Right.
So I think, obviously, this is going to be a huge season for DeAndre Swift, and if anyone knows DeAndre Swift and his potential, it's certainly Ben Johnson. So I think it's a combination, too. Like, if you want to run the ball really well, your offensive line needs to be pretty shored up as well. So I think when you look at the combination of, okay, who's going to be healthy, who's going to be available, what type of back, what type of how does DeAndre Swift look in Ben Johnson's offense? That's going to placate a lot to it. Also, that offensive line. If the offensive line, they figure out what they want and who they want where, I think that'll be pretty telling, because if that's what they want to do, and I think it is what they want to do, especially early on, I think we're going to see them running the ball a lot.
Yeah, I'm trying to get people, Caitlin Sharkey joining us from WGN, the co-host of GN Sports. I'm trying to get people, Caitlin, to accept the fact that this is going to be a work in progress well into the regular season, specifically with the quarterback, Caleb Williams. Now, the good thing is they've got Ben Johnson to figure out how to make up the difference between where Caleb Williams is now and where they want him to be.
Right, and I think that's going to be his most important and valuable asset. Caleb Williams' most valuable asset going into year two is Ben Johnson, because Ben Johnson can see it clearly what Caleb needs to do. I think, like you said, Marshall, it's a work in progress. None of these offensive players have come up to the podium or spoke to us, you know, after practice and go, yeah, we're ready, let's rock. Week one is just here. Like, no, they're all like, this is a work in progress. There's going to be some ups and downs, which I think is also important to say as a member of that offense, to be like, okay, don't come out and say, you know, we're going to go up and hang 38 points week one and expect it to look a certain way. I think for Caleb Williams, it's just running and doing what Ben Johnson needs you to do. It can't be Caleb Williams needs to run for his life, play hero ball, play backyard football. Like, that's just not going to work for Ben Johnson or Ben Johnson's offense. And I think that's going to be the most valuable lesson to start while they get all these kinks worked out and really truly hone in this offense. Caleb Williams has to do exactly what Ben Johnson wants him to do and envisions him to do in order for this offense to work.
Kayla, how do you interpret the Bears' reluctance, and I guess specifically Ben Johnson's reluctance to name the starting left tackle?
I mean, I kind of read it as a little bit of annoyance.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, he's going up there like, yeah, this is a frustrating question. I should probably know who my starting left tackle is. But I also think Ben Johnson and his coaching staff, and that's part of this culture shift up here, and we saw that a little bit with the cuts that they made as well. There's no more like, well, this is the position that he played, so let's give it another run, and that should be good enough. Like, that's not how Ben Johnson operates. So I think when he says, I'm not ready to name a starter, is because he hasn't watched anyone on tape consistently enough at left tackle to go, that's my guy. And I think if he did see that, he would go out there and be like, Braxton Jones is our starting left tackle. Like, he wouldn't hesitate, and he's not trying to play. And people are saying, okay, there's game strategy involved. Maybe I don't think it's that situation. I think he's probably frustrated that there is no secure starting left tackle, but still a work in progress with less than 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, and you know what, Caitlin, I'll run this by you too. I don't think Ben Johnson wanted to give the player, whoever it is, the satisfaction of being named, because then they would be like, yep, he earned it, he got it, and they've made it real clear nobody has stepped up. I think it's going to be Braxton Jones, but I don't think they wanted to give him the satisfaction, Caitlin.
Right. They don't want to say, okay, Braxton, this is your job. Braxton should have known going into this season, period, that this was his job to lose and this was his starting spot to lose. And then when they drafted Ozzie Trapillo, he was definitely put on notice, like, okay, here you go, Braxton. Again, this is your job to lose. But I think Braxton, I think them understanding this coaching staff coming in, understanding what Braxton Jones maybe needs and maybe needs to be coached a certain way when it comes to consistency and things like that. So, yeah, that was a very strategic message of like, I don't know, I'm not ready to name a starting left tackle. Because if I'm Braxton Jones, I'm going, oh, coach doesn't think I'm the starting left tackle just yet, in a public setting at least.
Caitlin Sharkey joining us from WGN Sports, the co-host of GN Sports. She's on that Bears beat hard, as she should be, as we are just days away from the season opener, Monday Night Football against the Vikings. What up with Jalen Johnson? My partner says he is definitely going to be out there week one.
I think he's going to be out there week one.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I hope you're right. I think it's been certainly a different looking secondary, and Ryan Poles, you know, named that group, and so that was one of the areas where he was kind of like, okay, well, no one's been healthy at the same time. We've never had our secondary out there throughout camp at the same time. I mean, a couple weeks ago when Jalen was going through his pregame, you know, workout, so to speak, before the Bills game, I mean, I thought from my lens, I'm like, okay, he's moving well, he's making cuts, he's got his speed. But there's obviously a reason that he's not ready to go, and when it comes to pushing your, you know, Pro Bowl corner, you want to be very careful with it. But I think it is telling that he's not starting on IR. They want him to be out there for week one, and if anyone's going to try to make it happen, it's going to be Jalen Johnson. Just a matter of how cautious they want to play it. I'm hopeful that if he's not out there week one, he's there at week two.
Yeah, and I was saying it at the beginning of the show. I can't imagine that on Monday Night Football with Justin Jefferson, right? And we think he might even be traveling. He's got to play, right?
Yeah, I mean, and if the medical staff doesn't want to clear him, they don't want to clear him. That's one thing. But I think if it's when I talked to him this offseason, you know, this is one of the games he had circled on his calendar. You know, he's like, I'm going up against some crazy good receivers this season, starting week one. So there's certainly a lot of buzz around week one, and I think he's going to be out there if he's able and medically cleared to be.
I'm back to he's playing. He's playing.
Good job, Caitlin.
Were you surprised at all, Caitlin, that Karan Hamagaji made the team and they're talking about tucking him in inside now potentially? And were there any other surprises for you of guys that got cut or guys that made the team?
I think I wasn't surprised that Karan's still around. I think obviously it's very easy to look at it and be like, he was definitely on the roster bubble. But I think when it comes to offensive line, they need all the depth that they can get, and not sure that Karan Hamagaji has been an answer at any position for them. But at this point, they need backups. They need depth. So I'm not surprised there. I think it was time to move on from Tyler Scott. I think it was a couple seasons maybe too long that Tyler Scott was able to be part of this team. But I think that didn't surprise me. I just think it's awesome that Jahdae Walker is, you know, now part of this initial 53. And it's really cool to see him kind of – those are the stories that you love about a training camp. But not surprised that Karan Hamagaji is here for now.
All right, we're going to let you go, Caitlin, because I don't know where you are. Are you at the Abbott Lab parking lot? Are you back on campus? Because I know you
We are back on campus. Okay. No more, like, half-mile walk to the front door. So we're it's only, like, three-quarters of a mile, you know?
All right.
Still going to get those steps, though, because it ain't exactly a short walk all the way around and through. And,
exactly.
No doubt. Well, tell everybody in the room I said hello, Caitlin. Thank you.
I will do that. You are missed.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much, Caitlin.
That is
talk to you guys later.
Bye, Caitlin. That is the great Caitlin Sharkey. And you should follow her on Twitter. Do it right now. Do it right now. Follow her on X or Twitter. Whatever makes you comfortable. At K Rose Sharkey. Coming up next on the Rahimi and Harris Show with me, Mark Rohde, filling in for Layla Rahimi. We're gonna talk more Cubs and we're gonna get pretty specific. Actually, we're going crosstown, baby. Crosstown. We're going to talk about we're going to compare and contrast two very successful rookies for the Cubs and the White Sox.
Yeah, I want to know what people think as far as who's having a better second half. It's a couple of rookies, one from the Cubs, one from the White Sox. Debate. That's when Rahimi and Harris, Mark Rohde, and for Layla returns on 670 The Score on Odyssey and the iHeartRadio app.